Brooklyn Radio Spring Garden Party on our Garden Gossip Show. And, of course, we're Lisa and Nancy, the mother-daughter travel team across the country on our Love Your Parks tour, and also publishers of Big Blend magazines. And today we've got our guest co-host is Linda Kassam. You know, she's been in our magazines for years, on the radio show for years, and she's our special guest co-host. But also she recently took a trip over to the Tucson Botanical Gardens, and Nancy and I both love the gardens. It's been years since we've been there, so we are very jealous, but very happy because she wrote an article about it. You can see it on BlendRadioMTV.com. Just type in Tucson Botanical Gardens or find Linda Kassam in our X department, and you'll see it there. And on TV magazine, but very excited she got to experience such a unique garden. And Tucson is very unique. To me, it is a garden city. We lived there for many, many years, and our storage unit is there. But the gardens, a lot of them are residential homes that turn into gardens, and that's one of them, the Tucson Botanical Garden. So I encourage you to go to TucsonBotanical.org. Keep up with Diva Linda at allingoodtaste.info because you've got good taste. But we want to welcome Matt. How are you? Matt Anson joining us from the garden itself. How are you?
Hi. Good morning. Good afternoon. I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Hey, we're very excited to have you here. And Diva Linda, I'm so glad you got there to the botanical garden, and it seemed like you had a really good time.
You know, this was a wonderful garden. As I say in my article, I've been to botanical gardens all over the world, and this one's just really special. You know what I like most about it is it has vignettes. So it has, it's easy. Number one, it's very easy to walk. Mm-hmm. So anybody can do it, any age. You don't have to worry about your kids falling off a cliff or whatever. You don't have to worry about your parents, you know, not having a place to sit and so forth. This has just been a really interesting, it's an interesting story of how they put it together. It's a very, very interesting story how they maintain it. I was able to talk to the director, and now there is a one smart cookie. You better never let her go. She is with Michelle. She's amazing. Always trying to change things in terms of change it up so that you have something else to come and see. Great events. I know we've been stalled here for a year, but I'm pretty sure stuff will start happening again. Matt was kind enough to take my husband and I on a tour and explain what this and that is. But can you imagine going to a botanical gardens and you get to see art? There's sculptures. There's, they have many vignettes of how you grow this and how you grow that. And one might think that in this Tucson garden that you would just see cactus. You know what? There is a section on cactus, which I didn't go to because I was limited in time, but I saw all the other flowers, and they have an urban garden, and they have this kind of garden, and that kind of dinosaur garden, and they have an iris garden.
Oh, there it is.
That's the dinosaur garden.
Yeah. So they've done a good job, and you know, I highly recommend. It's good. I'll tell you what. It's a great place for just to go by yourself, just wander by yourself, and it's fabulous. The butterfly garden thing is unbelievable. Mm. But you can just go and not worry about being by yourself. Go as a date. That's a really good date night. That's a really good date
Ooh.
Night. Or if your kids are antsy because they're still not back in school or whatever. You know, it's not so formal that you would feel that if your kids were sort of active that people would be looking at you and stuff. No, it wouldn't be like that. People would be glad to see children there, and art for the adults, and gosh, it's a great place.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a heck of a welcome, Matt.
Yeah.
Welcome.
It is. Yes, thank you.
Yeah. I mean, this is, it's an amazing garden, so... I mean, what's it like going to work there every day? I ask this about every botanical garden person that comes to our show. I'm like
so
dude,
jealous.
Even if you're a girl, I'm still going, dude, you're in the garden every day. That's so awesome.
It's true. I feel fortunate. And in my time here, I just crossed over 5 years with the gardens. I spent the bulk of my time actually on the operations side of the house. And so I oversaw the gardening and the facilities team.
Oh, wow.
So I was out on the grounds daily, and I can tell you I have experienced what science and medical research says when you're out in nature You feel mm-hmm. relaxed. You have a lowering of your blood pressure. There's just something
yeah.
about being immersed in natural beauty that makes work not feel like work. It's an avocation mm-hmm. as much as a vocation for me.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, you know, Tucson Botanical Gardens is really one of the prime attractions for Tucson. And I think it's so unique, too, because Tucson is unique in the saguaro cactus as part of the Sonoran Desert. I remember, you're part of the reason we ended up moving to Tucson was the gardens mm-hmm. were part of it. The Garcia
yeah.
Gallery was part of it. Tohonatrol Park, not far from you. I mean, I always felt
right.
like Tucson, if you are a garden lover or a plant lover,
oh, yeah.
Tucson should be at the top of your list. The Botanical Gardens, Saguaro National Park, the Pino Canyon, all of that shows something very unique you're not going to see anywhere else in the world.
Exactly.
Agreed, and I would just jump in and say that I think oftentimes, especially folks who've not been to the Sonoran Desert before, to Tucson in particular, do have perhaps a vision of, you know, barren desolation, cacti,
mm-hmm.
tumbleweeds, and
yeah.
it's not like that here at all. You have a variety, you know, the Sonoran Desert is actually the most diverse desert in the world in
mm-hmm.
terms of plant life. And you know, to a degree, the Tucson Botanical Gardens is reflective of that. I think oftentimes I hear people when they visit marvel at how large we are, because physically we don't face much of the roadway, but we have just under 6 acres that represent, we have 18 different specialty gardens on the ground. So yes, of course, we have a large and diverse cactus garden, but we have a rose garden, we have an herb garden, so we have 4,000 plus species representing all different kinds of growing zones, you know, in the country.
And you have a gift shop that is very dangerous. I remember you and I, Nancy, going in there, and I'm going to say a few hundred dollars were spent on seeds and books. I don't know, something happened, and we were living in the Joshua Tree area at the time, 29 Palms, and we tried to take these desert plant things over there, and that didn't work. And we're like, well, that's it. We just have to move. Sonoran Desert. Diva Linda, did you go in the gift shop? Because she is the food, wine, and shopping diva. Did you go in the gift shop? Because that was one of the most dangerous places for us.
I was so excited to go, but no, because of COVID, there was a limit on how many people could go in, and I had a limit on time to wait. I looked in, through the glass, and,
you could have to go again.
Yeah, well, it was a missed opportunity for both of us because I certainly would have contributed quite a bit of money just like you. I would have,
We walked out of there like, what did we just do? It's like you made a commitment to garden after that. That was the beauty of this garden. Matt, is that something, you know, botanical gardens, people go to look at the beauty, but isn't part of the role of a botanical garden to do exactly what Nancy and I did? We were just like, we can grow in the desert where people don't think you can grow things in the desert, which is insane. Because look at Egypt and, you know, like all these desert areas grow the most amazing plants in the world.
No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, not only do we want to display plants from around the world, we want to display best practices. You know, our horticulture team is committed to low water use, organic and sustainable gardening practices. We have a huge diversity of classes that we offer people, giving, you know, both, you know, experts and folks new to gardening all kinds of tips on how to garden. Of course, most of our content is being delivered still remotely right now. But absolutely, we're not a static place to display plants. We want to cultivate a love of plants and the desire to care for your own plants when people visit here.
And may I just say that they had the most wonderful email newsletter. It really is quite inspiring, and you really should go and sign up for it. Whoever does your newsletter, is that you, Matt? Do you do the newsletter?
That comes out of my department, yes. Thank you. Well, thank you. We've really sort of tried to double down on those kinds of communications over the last year, as people certainly initially were not able to or didn't feel comfortable, you know, leaving their homes or perhaps coming out and experiencing the gardens in person. We've done things to try to bring the garden experience to them. So whether it's those kinds of communications, we started a 24-hour live stream high-definition camera in our butterfly greenhouse. We've really tried to bring the gardens to people if they were not able to or didn't feel comfortable, you know, coming to us.
Mm-hmm. Nancy, you...
I was going to say, I'm just going to go back to real basics, that without plants, we can't breathe as humans. So besides their beauty, there's a functionality that happens. When you go to a garden, I think you're getting an extra oxygen dose without pollution. So as you're walking among the plants, you're breathing something that maybe you're not breathing in your house or your apartment. It's called, like, clean air. I'm just saying, the more you go into gardens, the better you feel. And I think it has a lot to do, yes, the beauty and the vibrancy of things growing, not dying, growing, and air, air quality.
Yeah, I would jump in and add to that. I think psychologically, you're also immersed, you know, we're right in the heart of Tucson. So you step into the gardens here and you're leaving sort of concrete behind. You're leaving traffic noise behind.
Yeah.
And we have a pretty substantial profusion of wildlife as well. You know, we have many plants that attract pollinators, that attract a variety of different bird species. Mm-hmm. So you're really experiencing something different from sort of the surrounding urban environment that you're in. So I think all of that plus a sort of freshness of air just makes a person feel good when they're here.
Yeah. And I think what's also interesting about Tucson, like, it has five seasons, and even Linda, you were talking about fall being, you know, Arizona's got one of the longest falls in the country, fall seasons. And to me, you know, we look at, you know, I think summer is one of the most magical times in Arizona or in Tucson. And what I didn't realize was the amount, like, the desert wildflowers will go from early spring all the way through fall. And in the summer, I mean, I would find things, I was just like, no way, things, and you have the monsoons that would come around. And then wintertime, you may have snow in the mountains. And here's this botanical garden in the heart of it all, in the city. But it doesn't feel like a city. It's still not a city to me, Matt. I'm sorry, but Tucson is like this big, wide, 1 million-plus people community. Because it's so spread out. It's such a beautiful, easy place to live. And, you know, there is that fresh, there's that air, you know. And I think the garden, you really showcase what you can do. And I want to go to Linda on this because, you know, I mean, Linda, you're kind of a recent Arizona transplant. And you're kind of in the Sonoran Desert, right, where you are outside of Phoenix. You're still, you have Gumby cactus. And listen, the desert has more than Gumby cactus, but I like Gumby. Did you find inspiration for you as a new person living and you know, having a home in the desert, in home,
well,
you know, in your garden?
I'll tell you what. So, for me, brought up in Southern California, my entire reference of flowering things and green things and gardening is what I was able to do in Southern California. And then when I transplanted to Washington, that's another good, really growing area all year long for different things. So when I got to Arizona, you know, I was stuck. I was telling my landscaper, I don't want cactus. I want things that flower. If it doesn't flower, it can't be, it can't live with me. And she said, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you know cactus do flower.
Amazing.
Like a rose? Can I cut them? Can I put them, you know, but, so going to the botanical gardens, I was so happy to see roses. I was so happy to see wildflowers, poppies, herbs, all sorts of things, and I thought to myself, okay, all I really need to do now, I mean, the landscaper was very good, and she showed me how to have some, I could get some flowering plants, because you can. You know, many of my neighbors have cactus gardens, but I don't want one, I want a flower. And so I thought it was just great, and as we went along, you know, and as we, I know I'm a challenge. And, well, you know, I try to bring things in, and I say, that one's, you know, take it back. Unless I see it's going to flower like a rose, I don't want it. But anyway, I was inspired, and anybody else could be inspired. And they even had something called, am I right, Matt, it's called the Urban Garden?
We have the herb garden.
Nope.
We don't have a garden sort of specifically related to sort of like, you know, rooftop landscaping or something like that.
No, what's the one?
The barrio. You're thinking the barrio.
The barrio garden. Yes, I'm sorry, the barrio garden.
Talk about that. That was so interesting.
Yeah, that was really designed with the local community to be evocative of a traditional, you know, Hispanic American garden that would have been around the time that Tucson was evolving. You know, in the early 20th century, people from lots of cultures were living here, and Hispanic culture in particular developed these gardens that sort of use all kinds of found objects. It could be a spare tire, a mailbox. It would end up in the yard. It could be a planter, and, you know, a little statuary, a little altar with candles, wine bottles turned upside down to make, you know, edging of a little garden bed space. So
we did that. Thank you to your garden. We did that in 29 Palms.
Mm-hmm.
We had a we have our Champagne Sunday
so cool.
show, so you know what we're doing now. So, you know, don't blame the sound effect problems on me. But anyway,
yeah.
but we did. From your garden, we went home. We had a Champagne Sunday show, and every Champagne Sunday show, we would go put the champagne bottle upside down in the garden and create our own rose.
It was the garden ever.
Yeah, I think it's probably one of our most popular gardens. It's beautiful. It's shady.
Mm-hmm.
It's at a scale, and I think many of us can imagine doing things like that in our own homes. You know, we already have maybe some chairs in the backyard or, you know, things that might otherwise be ugly, or why didn't I throw that away? Why is it in the yard? And all of a sudden it can turn into a planter.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many clever ways to do, like lawn chairs. Well, you have eventually the lawn chair, the plastic will, you know, do what plastic's not supposed to do and fall apart. So your plants might fall to the actual ground. So I say use a metal frame, take the plastic out, put a ramp there, put your plants on it, let them grow down, let them grow from the earth up and flower over the frame of the chair. It's really cool.
You know what? I'm taking it back. I took a bed frame. It was the Tucson Botanical. You guys are the ones who started this. I did like a bed garden. It was you guys. Because it was after that trip, and then we were doing some 29 Palms that we should probably have done. We did all kinds of things in our backyard that were pretty, like, hey, we can do this. Yeah, we can.
People
and,
drove by and stopped and looked at our front door. We were like, no, get out. No,
we had a cool garden. We had a cool garden. We had to mend our soil, but it was you guys that really inspired us. Like, we bought this house, and we had to get rid of all its furniture. There's this wire frame. I'm like, well, they did it there. Let's do it in the backyard. We did. It was you guys. That's it. Now that you're on the show, I'm like, I'm remembering exactly where that inspiration came from.
We used old furniture in the front of the house. And people
and the back.
It took about 3 months. And when the plants started to flower, people were like, hey, that's a pretty cool idea.
So much so that we grew cantaloupe, and the cantaloupe ended up in a cinder box, and we had square cantaloupe. But anyway, that's all I before. But I want to go back to Diva Linda, because in your article you talked about Ocotillo fencing, and that's something you'll see throughout the Southwest, even up into New Mexico.
Yeah,
and not necessarily Ocotillo in New Mexico, but it's kind of similar, but it's not the same. But the Ocotillo fencing is something so beautiful in it, because it does, right, Matt, it does actually bloom. It does actually come back to life.
Absolutely. Yeah, we actually have it around several beds in our native crops garden. And, well, last summer we adopted a Sonoran Desert tortoise. And she's living in a bed that's also got Ocotillo fencing around it. And, yeah, frequently, particularly after rains, you'll have many, if not most, of the canes start sprouting leaves. And, again, living. It's beautiful. I mean, it's a great boundary plant, but also then you have this added bonus of it periodically living again.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Love that.
It just shows you shouldn't throw things away. You should use them.
Yeah. Now, Diva Linda, tell me about Edna's Eatery, because apparently you've got a good recipe for guacamole on the website with your article. But apparently that was something, the photos I've seen, it looks like the food is just fresh and good for you. Like, you know, when you eat out in the garden, you want to kind of have that same vibrant, what your plate should be as vibrant as the garden.
I think you could do, you could probably do a micro garden of the, except for the avocados, that, you know, in terms of this, of what you put in this recipe, but, Edna's Eatery is, I think, fairly new. It's, I think it's very hip, actually, and, I had, well, I was there, one of their smoothies, and it was absolutely fabulous. It was something that I normally don't, the ingredients weren't necessarily what I usually have, but it was fabulous. And
cool.
The people there are great, and you can sit outside, you can sit inside. It's very small. Don't think it's large. It's very small, but it should be popular. How's it doing, Matt? Is it doing just fine, I hope?
I'm happy to say so. You know, oftentimes sad things lead to opportunities, and so when we had to close for a few months due to the pandemic last year, the prior vendor that was operating the cafe was not able to come back, so we had sort of a request for proposals. And Westward Look Resort, a local five-star Wyndham resort, reached out.
Yeah.
They're partnering with us. They're operating Edna's. And it's been hyper-successful since it opened in the first week of March. And I think in large part, as people start to feel comfortable venturing out and doing recreational things again, we are at the top of their list because we're an outdoor entity. People can feel safe kind of maintaining distance, staying in their family group. And Edna's is like, we have lots of outdoor seating. We've had several visitors tell the wait staff that this was the first place they've gone out to eat since the pandemic began, and it was because they could feel safe and outdoors. And so, you know, we've been very, very happy with it. Lots of positive reviews and feedback from people, and couldn't be happier with how it's starting. And, you know, being affiliated with an entity like the Westward Look Resort, five-star, just they brought that team. Panache to operating this cafe.
On the way that things are, the presentations are beautiful. I saw stuff going out of the kitchen, and I thought, oh my God, that is fabulous. I just like it to look at it. So, which brings me to another point, which is, you're not going to just see plants when you go here. You're going to see sculptures. You're not going to see a bench. You're going to see a tile bench that has a story behind it, and I think, you know, it feeds the art soul, and it feeds the plant soul, and it feeds all sorts of things, and you can see paintings, and what I would like to have Matt talk a little bit is about the leadership that makes this garden so fabulous. Your executive director is one heck of a woman, and I know she leads 13, I believe, directors on her board. Can you just give a little sort of
sure
and methodical, but tell us a little bit about it, because you can't have a really successful long-term venue like this without great leadership.
No, agreed. And Michelle Conklin, our executive director, has been here more than 14 years and started overseeing development. She's done marketing, you know, before ultimately assuming the role of executive director many years ago now. And I think really in large part due to her leadership, the gardens has evolved from perhaps a charming kind of community-led organization to a professionalized, you know, we want to be considered one of, if not the best, small garden in the country. And she actively sort of facilitated that transformation 5 or 6 years ago by making a commitment to having nationally known exhibits rotating through the garden. I think there was a recognition that people will come, you know, if you want to attract a broad audience, there's a recognition that you need to have things beyond just plants. There may be a family unit and someone is driving a visit because they like plants. But if you have art, if you have other things that are of interest to people, you will perhaps gain more people to come here and or repeat visitors. So in 2015, we opened our new gift shop welcome center building that I'm sad to say you weren't able to go into the gift shop, Linda. And at the same time, there was an exhibit of Legos, these giant Lego sculptures that
mm-hmm.
we had here in the fall of 2015.
Cool.
That segued into a Frida Kahlo traveling exhibit from the New York
That's
Botanical
it.
Gardens.
I remember
in,
that, Frida Kahlo.
Yes.
I was just looking it up to see if I was right. I was like, wasn't Frida Kahlo there? You had that whole exhibit there for a few months. And I was
we
like,
did.
Oh,
no,
I
you're,
still
you're
wanted to go.
Absolutely right. 2016, 2017, in partnership
yeah.
with New York Botanical Gardens. We then had the following year these large, oversized origami sculptures that were on display, origami in the garden. So year after year after year, Michelle has attracted new and unique and yet beautiful and appropriate to our setting, interesting art for people to appreciate, you know, while they're also enjoying the plant communities or having, you know, a lunch in the cafe. I think it makes what may have been an hour visit in the past can be a half-day visit now. There, you know, there's so many things to see and do above and beyond just appreciating the plants.
You know, it's really true. When we started our magazine and we called it The Blend and we decided to be variety and we're going to have all these subjects in one magazine, and so many people said, don't do it, you need specialize, just do one thing and do it well. And we're like, no, that's not how we Lisa and I, that is not who we are or how we think. We want to see everything all the time as much as we can. I'm not saying we like everything. I'm just saying we're interested, and I think there's a whole bunch of people who are like that.
And may not know they are.
And
yeah.
may not.
Sure.
So I like variety because then you're like, okay, I'm looking at this magazine, flip the page, and like, oh, I'm not going to read that because I decided I don't like that. No, you look at it, pretty picture, read the caption, and you're like, okay, yeah, oh, actually, I am interested. That's how you grow. That's how you educate. I don't like the, you're only this. You can do that, but I think variety is the spice of life.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want on my tombstone.
Sure, and I think, you know, when I look at things from the marketing perspective, I want people to have a reason. I call them be-backs. What's a reason to be back or come
mm-hmm.
back
yeah.
and visit again and again? And I think certainly, you know, plant communities change throughout the year, so things are in bloom or they're not in bloom.
Yeah.
So you do have that sort of educative
yeah.
variety. But having new exhibits of art, sculpture, paintings, et cetera, people can always sort of anticipate something new within the arts to see when they come here.
Well, that's really true. I mean, especially in when you look at weather changes. We were in Frederick Meyer Gardens up in Grand Rapids, Michigan last summer, and this one of the top botanical gardens in the country and the top 10 open art galleries visited in the world, one of the top.
Mm.
And here they are. You've got to think, you know, snow happens. We went through the snow thing last year, and I'm like, heck no, who's going to go to a botanical garden when you're under snow for 4 to 6 months? Well, you put sculptures out there, and you get smart. You really do have a conservatory and all of that. And so Linda's been in gardens around the world. We've done a lot as well, like Kirstenbosch in South Africa. I mean, all kinds of places between
mm-hmm.
us all here on the show. And there's something about quality of life in a garden, in your backyard.
Mm.
You're going to have a garden, but maybe you put a swimming pool in because you want to have that outdoor environment and you want to float in your pool and you want to see orchids, or maybe you do want to see orchideas and a hummingbird and a fountain.
Mm.
And then you're going to have garden art. Garden art is there for a reason. There can
oh,
be edibles.
So cool.
And so it's all about quality of life. And I think what's so great about you, Linda, and having Matt on the show and just re-feeding since we've been there, I am so excited. I'm very homesick right now. Is that you're also, while you're doing this, really playing into being part of what Tucson is. Tucson is a garden community, just even with the cactus and way the city has got integrity. And the city is very big on art and public art and just that open outdoor space, and also not losing out about the Barrio. The Barrio District is part of the heritage. You know, you think about ethnobotanical gardens and things like that. It's part of the heritage. It's so good to have you on the show today with what you guys are doing, because you're sticking to what Tucson is and also showing future possibilities. Mm-hmm. But Tucson is so much. Tucson is a gastronomical capital of, did I say that correctly?
We are, yes. Yeah, we're a city of gastronomy. We were the first in the United States, actually.
Yeah.
UN-designated city of gastronomy. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right. No, I think Tucson, or the Tucson Botanical Gardens, is to a degree a microcosm of what Tucson's about, you know, showcasing natural beauty, doing it in an environmentally friendly way, being good stewards, and then having the opportunity, for example, to have a wonderful, you know, meal, a gastronomical experience in our cafe. You know, one thing I'll say, too, in addition to having art and sort of expanding a visitor experience in the arts, we also recognize that, you know, Tucson is a city of dog lovers as well. And so every summer we have our Dog Days program where people can come and walk around the gardens with their dogs. And, you know, having lived here, that being out early in the morning before the heat of the day, and so people, this is a safe and beautiful place for people to come and walk around with their best furry friends as well.
Yeah.
I love that. Diva Linda, did you take your puppy to the garden?
Well, I begged, but it wasn't the right time, so no. But, you know, I'll be back, and Muffin will enjoy it. She loves all that stuff, so she's well-behaved. A little more enthusiastic than we'd like, but well-behaved. I love the dog program. I thought that was
it's
really
awesome.
Smart. Are there any events coming up that you can tell us about?
Well, I will, without saying names, I will say that we are one of 10 gardens internationally that's working on an augmented reality exhibit. So there will be somewhere between 10 and 15 works of art created by internationally renowned artists that will be on display all over the grounds. The exhibit is going to be called Seeing the Invisible, and you will use a smartphone or a tablet with an app downloaded on it, and then you will experience these virtually in the space of our gardens. So that's something I think that's going to be exciting and kind of the next step in how we use technology in our lives in both experiencing natural beauty, but then also these stunning works of art.
Oh,
you're
holy
so,
cow.
Because it really
you're
bridges
so
the gap.
They're boldly going.
I know.
No one is this called.
I love this. Matt, thank you so much for joining us on the show. It has just been a true pleasure. Nancy and I are both homesick. Hey, we're going to be in Arizona tomorrow. Check that out, Nancy. Tomorrow night we're going to be in Arizona.
We are?
I know.
Oh.
I know. We're going to
Thank you so much for having me. It was an honor to be invited and a real joy to chat with you all.
Oh, thank you. Anytime, come back on the show. Everyone, TucsonBotanical.org. Again, Steve Linda's got an article up on BlendRadioAndTV.com. Just type in Tucson Botanical Garden. It'll come up. And also it'll be featured in the summer issue of Big Blend Radio and TV Magazine. We're going to close this segment with a song called Jacaranda because it's beautiful. And jacaranda trees can grow in Tucson. And they're one of my favorite trees on the planet. So we're going to play that. And it's by Evan Ozan. So here it is. Jacaranda, thank you, Matt.
Thank you all. Have a nice afternoon.
You too.